me, I had to open my eyes or I thought it was at the Belfast Fla. I was saying, well, sir, if that was the case, there was no way I was going to be there. Anyway, you're very, very welcome. Let me just pray and ask for God's blessing on his word this evening. Father, in the name of Jesus, how wonderful it is to come into this place to praise and worship you. You are a great, great God, and we delight in you. Lord, we ask tonight, please, that you would still our hearts and that you, Lord God, would open our minds and our ears to hear, Lord God, and to receive what it is that you're saying to us this evening. Lord, your word abides forever. We're here for a short time, but this word, Lord God, abides forever. We pray that we would get as much of that word into our lives, Lord God, into our hearing, into our souls, O God, please. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, that because of him, there is salvation for whosoever believes. You're not, Lord God, sitting with a chart, Lord God, keeping this record of how many sins a person has committed. Lord, you're there with arms wide open to receive any sinner, doesn't matter how many sins they've committed, any sinner who will come to you through faith in Jesus, and you promise you'll give them forgiveness of sins, everlasting life, and will adopt them into your family. And we pray tonight, Lord God, that the truth of your word would do its work, that it would triumph, that it would tear down the strongholds in people's minds and the misconceptions, Lord God, and the myths that people have, Lord God, about you, and the lies that the devil puts in people's hearts about you, and that your word, Lord God, would speak tonight to all who are here, to all who are watching on Facebook, and to all, Lord God, who are listening to the podcast. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've got a Bible with you, please, if you want to turn to 1 Samuel, and no, this is not a reflection back to this morning, because I was speaking this morning on 1 Samuel, but it's 1 Samuel chapter 7. At this time of the year, as I read my Bible every year, at this time of the year, I'm usually on the books of Samuel, and I wanted over 2 weeks in the morning times to be looking at just an event in the life of Hannah, the mother of Samuel. And tonight, I want to begin our new series called There Is Hope with a theme from 1 Samuel. But this new series, this idea of There Is Hope came from listening to Armour Young, who was here a couple of weeks ago, and he started by saying, you know, there's not a lot of hope in the world. And really, you know, when you think about it, if you put on your news, I watch the news at 6 o'clock in the morning, and then I watch it at 6 o'clock at night, BBC in the morning, and then I see what lies are being told by 6 o'clock at night. And I watch them to see all that's going on, and when you look at it, there really isn't a lot of hope in the world. And it's quite a frightening thing. It would seem that hope is something that is lost or that is being lost. And when you ask people what they think the future holds, there really isn't a lot of positivity. And I'm not into the power of positive thinking, but you know, when you ask people, for example, if I asked you, how do you think things are going to be in this world in, for example, the next 5 years? I wonder how much hope there would be in your answers. Or how do you think things will be in the United Kingdom or here in Northern Ireland in the next 5 years? Maybe we'll still be without Stormont and the MLAs will still be taking their salaries. Or God might grant us hope and it'll be up and running, hopefully a more righteous government. But closer to home, how do you think things will be in your life in the next 5 years? If we're honest, for most people, positivity and hope don't necessarily come to the fore. Even Christians of all people, Christians are supposed to be a people of great hope. We are supposed to radiate hope. We're a bit like the Blackpool Rock. Slice us anywhere, it should say hope. Bite into the Blackpool Rock, it'll say Blackpool. Slice us, it should say Jesus. Slice us, it should say hope. We are a people of great hope. And yet, many Christians can lose their sense of hope. The wise man King Solomon said, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Hear that? Hope deferred makes the heart sick. In other words, things that we hope for that never seem to materialize can actually wear us out. They can make us ill, and we can find ourselves thinking and believing like Eddie the Eagle, who said, "For me, there is only two types of hope, Bob Hope and no hope." But in fact, we don't even have Bob Hope anymore. So let me put into context the subject tonight. During a really turbulent period in the history of the people of Israel, before they had a king, God would raise up judges or deliverers to rule the people. And the sad truth is that every time things went well for Israel, they forsook the Lord and his ways. They followed their own inclinations. This is when things went well. Do you ever notice that people call out to God when things are bad in their life? Nobody seems to have a great need for God when things are going well. The people of Israel, they would always follow their own inclinations when things were going well, and they would get entangled in the ways and the practices of the ungodly nations around them. Now, God clearly forbid Israel to do this, knowing that they would be led astray into the ungodly ways of the world. Israel were God's chosen people, and if you're like me, they still are. Israel were God's chosen people, chosen to be the light to the nations around them, to be God's representatives to the nations, that the ungodly nations might repent and believe. But too often, rather than bring hope to the surrounding nations, Israel became like them in their ungodliness. And having forsaken God, his word and his ways, God gave them over, and please listen to this, God gave them over to their enemies, who would treat them terribly, enslave them, and make their lives a misery. Now, before anyone thinks God is a bit mean to do this, let me explain something. When people choose to follow their own inclinations and do what they want, God at times will simply leave them to it, because that's the choice they've made. As a result of their choice and God stepping back to let them do as they please, bad things can happen. It's not God's fault. God is not to blame. Having forsaken God, his word and his ways, God gave the people of Israel over to their enemies, who would treat them terribly, enslave them, and make their lives a misery. But God permitted this. He permitted it to bring his people to their senses and get them to return again to him. Time after time, the people cried out to God to save them. And time after time, in his grace and in his mercy and in his love for them, God sent them or raised up a judge, a deliverer, to rescue and free them from their captors. And yet, if you read in the book of Judges, yet within a short time, and it's usually when the judge that God had just raised up died, within a short time, the people of Israel quickly forgot about their former oppression and went back to their sinful rejection of God and their rebellious, ungodly living. Now, you see that throughout the history of the people of Israel. When they are in dire straits, they call out to God for mercy, and God, who is merciful, hears and responds and raises up a deliverer, a savior, a rescuer. And as soon as they're freed from their enemies, within a short time, they're back down that road. It's a bit like working with addicts. It's a bit like working with addiction. A lot of addicts have lost all hope of ever being freed from their addiction. And we all probably know people like that. We all know those who have lost all hope of ever being freed from their addiction, and so they resign themselves to make the most of their misery. And I wonder tonight if there's anybody here in the hall or anybody watching on Facebook or listening to the podcast. I wonder if that's you tonight. You've lost all hope in life, all hope of ever being freed from your addiction. And what you've done is you've resigned yourself to make the most of your misery. For others, the interventions, for other addicts, the interventions that they get enable them to live drug-free lives. And they move forward enjoying a greater quality of life than the misery of addiction. But for others, they get a taste of the freedom from the misery they were in. The freedom that they so longed for when they were crying out for a rescuer, for a deliverer, for a savior, to get free from their addiction. They get a taste of the freedom that they so longed for. And then after just a short time, they often begin to lie to themselves, making wrong decisions and wrong choices, foolishly thinking that they can dabble again with their drugs. And before they know it, they are once again captives to the misery. Some addicts just never learn. Let's read in 1 Samuel chapter 7, the first 6 verses. Then the men of Kiriath Jearim came and took the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab on the hill, and consecrated Eleazar his son to keep the ark of the Lord. And so it was that the ark remained in Kiriath Jearim a long time. It was there 20 years. And all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. Then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, "If you return to the Lord with all your hearts, put away the foreign gods and the Ashtaroths from among you, and prepare your hearts for the Lord and serve him only, he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines." So the children of Israel put away the Baals and the Ashtaroths and served the Lord only. And Samuel said, "Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you." So they gathered together at Mizpah, drew water, and poured it out before the Lord. And they fasted that day and said, "We have sinned against the Lord." And Samuel judged the children of Israel at Mizpah. Samuel was one such judge, one deliverer whom God raised up yet again to free Israel from their oppressors. In Samuel's day, Israel was harassed by the Philistines, who made their lives a misery. One battle in particular saw Israel suffer a terrible defeat, and the Philistines captured the Ark of the Lord. That was very, very important to Israel. The Ark of the Lord was the symbol of God's presence with Israel, and they had captured this. But after experiencing signs of God's judgment on them, the Philistines sent the ark back to Israel. The people of Israel's hearts weren't right before God. They had been worshipping false gods. They had engaged in the ungodly practices of the nations around them. There wasn't a lot of hope in these days. And any that might have been was quickly dashed by the enemies of Israel. However, God, who is loving and merciful, raised up Samuel. When the people of Israel cried out, God in his loving kindness came to them, raising up Samuel to speak to the people of Israel. "If you return to the Lord with all of your hearts, put away the foreign gods from among you and prepare your hearts for the Lord to serve him only. He will deliver you from the hand of your enemies." Here is God using Samuel to speak hope into what must have seemed like a hopeless situation to the people of Israel. Here is God raising up a savior, raising up a deliverer, raising up a judge over the people of Israel to speak hope to a people who had lost all hope. Here is God, moved by his loving kindness and his compassion, yet again coming to the rescue of his people, even though they had willingly rejected him. God is a merciful God. God is a gracious God. God's arms are wide open to receive any sinner who will repent and call out to him. Here is God in his loving kindness, in his compassion, yet again coming to rescue his people, even though they had willingly rejected him, his word, and his ways, to follow their own inclination and to live like the ungodly around them. But God, who is rich in mercy, abounding in love and in faithfulness, reached out the hand of hope to his people. You see, God doesn't give up on his people. God doesn't say, "You've let me down. I don't want anything else to do with you." He may at times step back. He may at times lift his hand of protection from off people and let them run about following their own inclination. And maybe even bad things will happen that he might permit until they come to their senses and cry out to God. And he's there in a moment. In a flash, he's there with arms wide open to receive them. God is rich in mercy, abounding in love and faithfulness, and he reaches out his hand of hope to his people. And of course, the people of Israel took a hold of the hope delivered by Samuel. And we're told they confessed their wrongdoing. "Lord, we have sinned." And that sin had led them to the misery that they were in. But they repented. They turned away from the ungodly practices. They put away their false gods and they served the Lord. One definition of hope is this: an optimistic state of mind that is based on an expectation of positive outcomes in one's life or the world at large. Hear that again. One definition of hope: an optimistic state of mind that is based on an expectation of positive outcomes in one's life or the world at large. It would seem there's not a lot of hope in the world today. There's not a lot of positivity. Do you have tonight, ladies and gentlemen, do you have an expectation of positive outcomes for your life? If you can answer, "Yes, I have great hope in my life," well, let me ask you, if not on Jesus, what is your hope based upon? If not on Jesus, what is your hope based upon? Is it a genuine hope? Or is it wishful thinking? Genuine hope or wishful thinking? Let me ask again. Do you have a positive, do you have an expectation of positive outcomes for your life? To put it another way, do you have real, genuine hope in your life and for your life? If you're honest and your answer is no, if you're honest and your answer is I don't know, then listen to the word of God to you. If you return to the Lord with all of your hearts, put away the foreign gods from among you and prepare your hearts for the Lord to serve him only, he will deliver you from all of your enemies. Now listen to what that means. If you, the decision, the choice must be yours to choose to live this way or to choose to follow God. If you turn back to God, if you repent of living your life your way and repent, walk in the ways of the Lord, if you will put away the foreign gods, you would say, oh, but I don't have foreign gods. Anything in your life that takes the place of the God of the Bible is a foreign god. You need to put it away. God must come first. Prepare your hearts. If you prepare your hearts for the Lord, that means confess your sin. Don't tell God all the things that you've ever done. He already knows. It means agree with God that you are a sinner. God, I am a sinner like Israel. Lord, we have sinned against you. If you do these things, if you repent, if you put away the foreign gods, if you prepare your heart for the Lord to serve God only, you can't have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom of God. You've got to put God first. You've got to be serving God only. Purpose in your heart to serve God only and to live your life for Him. What does He say? He will deliver you from the hand of your enemies. God will set you free and He will give you hope. Your greatest enemy tonight is death. You're all going to die. And yet God says, if you will trust me, I will give you hope. There is hope that surpasses even death. And it's through faith in Jesus. That is the hope, ladies and gentlemen, that God promises to those who will repent, who will return to the Lord, putting away their foreign gods, preparing their hearts for the Lord to serve Him only. He promises you. He will deliver you from the hand of your enemies. Christian, is your hope tonight, is your hope in God as sure tonight as it was when you first trusted in Him? You see, we can all so easily drift away. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. We can all lose track of the truth that one day Jesus is coming back. We can so easily be will-o'-the-wisped away from the things of God. Let me ask you again, is your hope in God tonight as sure as it was, Christian, when you first trusted in Him? Have you lost any sense of your hope in the Lord as you wait for it to be realized? God our Father, who is rich in mercy, abounding in love and in faithfulness, is reaching out His hand of hope to you this evening. And I urge you tonight to take a fresh hold of His hand, because He is a faithful God and He will never let you go. Maybe a word tonight for anyone who is deemed a backslider, someone who knew the Lord and walked with the Lord, but for whatever reason, and it's not my place or certainly nobody else's place to judge why you are in a backslidden state. Let me ask you, has the misery of your backslidden state not yet brought you to your senses? Has the misery of your backslidden state not yet brought you to your senses? How much of the world's misery will it take before you return to the Lord with all of your heart? You see, the world and all that it offers you, you might be enjoying it, but it's the fleeting pleasures of sin. It's fleeting. It's going to be gone very quickly. Where is your hope tonight? God your Father, again, who is rich in mercy, abounding in love and in faithfulness, is reaching out His hand of hope to you, backslider. Will you take a hold of it? Will you return to Him tonight? Maybe there's someone here tonight in the hall, someone watching on Facebook or listening into our podcast, and you're not yet a Christian. Well, let me tell you the good news. There is hope for you tonight. There is true, genuine hope. Because of Jesus, who loved you and came into this world and died for you to pay the price for your sin, because of Jesus, there is forgiveness with God for you tonight. Will you do as God says? Listen again. Return to the Lord with all your heart. Put away your foreign gods from among you, and prepare your heart for the Lord to serve Him only, and He will deliver you from the hand of your enemies. God will give you hope tonight. God will give you life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, tonight, thank you that you are a God of hope. Thank you that your people, Lord God, though we don't often manifest it, we are a people of hope because we have a wonderful hope in Jesus, and we have a blessed hope, Lord God, that we look to the return of Jesus. But Lord, how incredible it is to know that we possess a hope that surpasses death. People, Lord God, can live their lives in all of the worldly ways, Lord God, and all of the pleasures that it might offer. But nonetheless, Lord God, death approaches. Where is their hope then, Lord God? What have they got then, Lord God, when death is at the door? Father, we ask, please, that they would take a hold of the hope that is found in Jesus, because Jesus gives hope that surpasses death. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even though they die, yet shall they live. We thank you for the good news of Jesus Christ, your Son. We thank you that the hope that is found in him, Lord God, is available to all who are here tonight, to all watching on Facebook or listening to the podcast. We thank you, Lord, that that hope is available and that your hand of hope, Lord God, is extended to all tonight. We pray, please, that people here in this hall, people watching, people listening, Lord God, would put their hand into the hand of God the Father, into the hand of hope that is reaching out to them, and may they find life through Jesus Christ, your Son. Lord, forgive us when we are living our lives in such a way and things, Lord God, seem to be going so well that we easily forget you. And it's only when trials come, when heartaches come, that we call upon your name. Yet you are so merciful, so gracious, and so kind. Father, please help us to live our lives consistently in a walk with you, walking with you, until, Lord God, you call us home. Thank you again tonight, Father, for this truth. Thank you for this new series. May we tonight instill into the hearts of people, Lord God, into listeners tonight, there is hope in Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen.